Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise for all that he's done. Amen, brother Andy. God bless you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you thankful for all he's done for you? Amen. It's good to think about all he's done. Amen. Sure is a remedy for the blues. Amen. If you're ever down, just think about all he's done for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. While we're standing, if we could just bow our heads for a word of prayer as we just change the order of the service tonight. Father, we're just grateful once again to be able to come into your presence, Lord. And Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the songs that have been sung, Lord, the prayers that have gone forth. Father, the atmosphere, Lord, that's being created. Father, for we know that, Lord, you dwell in the praises of your people. And, but Father, we're here to hear from you, Lord. And as we change the order of the service tonight, Father, I pray that your word would speak, Father. Lord, not my word, but your word, Father. Lord, that we would all be able to just set ourselves aside, Lord, to hear from you. Lord, because when you speak, it's a certain sound, Lord. Lord, it just has that ring to it, and we know that we've heard from our Father. So, Lord, that's what we're desiring tonight, Lord. The enemy has had his opportunities all week to preach to us, to speak his language and his words to us, and witness to our flesh. But Lord, your word is what we desire. Your word is true, and your word is the final say. So Lord, we want to just honor you. Lord, we want to worship you tonight in spirit and in truth. And Lord, if we pray tonight that you would just have your way, Father. Anoint speaker and hearer alike, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. While you're standing, I'd like to just turn right into the scripture tonight. God bless you. It's just good to be with you tonight. Just have a little subject here on my heart that could be really, really large, but we'll just kind of hit some of the little high points of it tonight. We want to look at a story in the Old Testament here, starting here in Zechariah chapter 4. Amen. You glad to be in the house of God tonight? Amen. Amen. No place we'd rather be, is that right? Amen. Well, I think we got about 80% said that anyway. Amen. Brother Joe, it's good to see you. Sister Jessica, God bless you. Thank you for sharing your song with us tonight. Certainly, are glad to see you, but we sorrow with you knowing why you're here, the loss of a family member there. So we just give you our sincere condolences and praying for the family. Amen. As we've said many times, no matter how much we expect someone to go, it's never easy. There's always, amen, an empty place left. Amen. So thankful that we have a hope of a resurrection. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'd like to read here in Zechariah chapter 4, starting in verse 6. It says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain." That's some mighty power right there. Amen. See what he's saying? It doesn't matter how big the obstacle. Amen. Though the obstacle be as high as a great mountain, and we've got some pretty big mountains we can look at here. Amen. Though your obstacle be that big, before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, "Grace, grace unto it." Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hands of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth." Now, there's quite a bit of prophecy in here. There's quite a bit of things that we just won't be able to touch on. There's a lot in the Word in terms of types and things that we're going to just kind of take a little narrow focus on this tonight. But so if I leave out your favorite part, you forgive me on that. All right. But let's look at this message here, the statement from the message of grace. Brother Branham says, we are all acquainted with this scripture that reads the Bible, and we know that this was during the time of the preparation of the restoration of the temple. And Zerubbabel was a great prince among the people who had laid the foundation of the building. Now you, I want you to put on your spiritual thinking, the anointing jacket this morning as we think. And this great prince had determined to rebuild the house of the Lord. And then when he did, he had laid the foundation stone. And as we read on farther, we find out that God said Zerubbabel had laid the foundation with his hands, and he shall also bring forth the headstone. I want you to notice, he never said he shall bring forth the cornerstone. He shall bring forth the headstone. Now the cornerstone is the first part of the building, right? It's the start of the foundation of the building. And the headstone is the final piece on the top, right? He says, and we know that the scripture says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and he's also the headstone. Amen. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. Now, if we will think for a few minutes that the church, the seventh church messenger, was to restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. In other words, rebuild the church again under the power of the Spirit. Amen. Under the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Not by organization, not by denomination, but by the Holy Spirit, God will bring forth the church in the last days. Amen. Amen. So, will the church come forth without the Holy Spirit? Amen. Zerubbabel, the prince with Joshua, was the one that was to bring forth this headstone. He had laid the foundation, and he took the people back to the foundation in type. Amen. You can be seated tonight as we just look at this for a few minutes here. So we see that Brother Branham, the seventh church age messenger here, identifying himself in type in this scripture, typing to Zerubbabel, the one tasked with restoration. Amen. The one that would restore the temple. Now, my subject here tonight, again, I'm taking a narrow focus on this, is rebuilding the temple of praise. Rebuilding the temple of praise. Amen. His job was to bring forth the headstone. Amen. To rebuild. I love the way he says that. Rebuilding the church again under the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The church can't be rebuilt under doctrine alone. It can't be rebuilt under word. Amen? It can't be rebuilt just with a dead letter. It can't be rebuilt just with restored understanding and mysteries. It has to be rebuilt by the power of the Spirit. Amen? So let's quickly, just for a few minutes here, let's take a step back, and we want a background and see why this is even happening in the first place. How did they find themselves in this situation? Now, we know that Israel is, in the natural, the things that happen to Israel naturally are a type of the church spiritually. Right? We know that. We see in the Old Testament things that happen to Israel. We can see them. They're spiritual types for the church. Is that right? That carries through all the way to today. It continues on in this very day. Israel is still typing the church. The struggles that Israel goes through, we can tie them right back and see a spiritual type in the church. Can you say amen? Amen. So that's why we look at these things in the Old Testament, not through the lens of a scholar or a theologian, but we look to see ourselves in the Word. Amen? And so Israel here was in a place of captivity because they had allowed themselves to be backslidden on God. They had been so prosperous. They had been so blessed by God that they couldn't stand the prosperity. Amen? They were too blessed in the natural. Right? They had too much. And they didn't have the character as a nation to handle the blessings. I mean, Solomon, King Solomon, could have anything he wanted. He was rich beyond measure. The height of Israel's power. They were a mighty nation. They were rich, increased with goods, had need of nothing. Amen? But without the character to go with it. Amen? That's why, brother, sister, you know, we have to recognize that anything that we are given as the church of God, oh, our loving Father is so good to make sure that we have the character to stand it. Amen? Amen. So if you have a trial come your way, just be thanking God. Lord, I'm thankful that you're building the character so that I can handle the blessings that are coming my way. Amen. So what happened is they took their faith in Jehovah, the religion, the pure and true religion that God had given them through the prophet Moses and handed down through the generations. And they began to allow it to be mixed with the religions of other nations. Amen? They didn't wholly abandon Jehovah. They said, oh no, we believe. We're believers. Right? But they allowed worldliness to creep in. And they allowed a mixing. They allowed a hybridization of the Word of God. They allowed other forms of idol worship and other types of worldliness just to creep in. Give it a little place here and, you know, allow it to occur over there. And pretty soon it starts to take over. And then you've got a Jezebel in charge. Amen? So they still called on the name of the Lord, yet also gave place to idols and allowed the world, amen, to have its way. But yet so prosperous. Let me give you a little flavor here. And I'm only going to tell you this because we're going to compare it with something later on. But during the building of the temple, Solomon's temple, the Bible tells us that he used 3,000 talents of gold to overlay the walls. Okay, so this doesn't include all of the gold decorations and all of the gold implements, the things that were solid gold. This is just wallpaper. Right? 3,000 talents. You say, okay, well, what is that? What is 3,000 talents? Well, one talent is a weight. So one talent in gold is about 73 pounds of gold. Okay? So in today's, you know, market-ish, something like that, that 73 pounds of gold would be about worth about $1.4 million. And there were 3,000 of those, so that's about $4.2 billion worth of gold for wallpaper. Yeah. And he could afford it. Amen? This is the grandeur of the temple that was built. But they didn't stay true to Jehovah. It didn't matter how rich they were. It didn't matter what they had. It didn't matter, you know, how big the army. It didn't matter how great the kingdom. The shout of the king in the camp is what made the difference. And when they allowed that, they let down the bars. It was the downfall of the nation. And God allowed the enemies of Israel to rise up and begin to take over. The northern nation was conquered first, then the southern nation was conquered. And when Judah, the southern nation, was conquered by the Babylonians, they were all carried off and carried away into Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar came and took over. Amen? My Sunday school students are nodding because we've been studying Daniel in Sunday school, so they've been hearing about this. Amen? And they took all of the promising people, young people, the wealthy, the most well-educated, all the best of the best that Israel had, and they carried them off to captivity. Because they wanted them to serve them. Amen? They conquered them. They ransacked the temple. They reduced it to rubble and pillaged it. Took all that gold. Guess where it ended up? Ended up in Babylon. Later, it was being used for parties. Amen? Now, this, of course, is a huge blow to the people of Israel because this is their meeting place with God. That temple is where they go to have their sins forgiven. That's where they go to offer sacrifice. That's where they go for healing when they need to meet with Jehovah, when they need to counsel with the Lord. That's where they go for worship. Amen. That was the place where God met his people on earth. And now how could they do it? The nation was in ruins. The temple was in ruins. It looked like the enemy had won. Amen. Oh, but the enemy's victories are never permanent. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God already had a plan in place. Amen. No matter how much the enemy makes a ruin in your life, I'm thankful. Amen. He doesn't have the last word. His victories are temporary. Hallelujah. Amen. The child of God that's been under the promise of God, he's working it out. And he had already prophesied. There was already a prophecy concerning them. Amen. Hundreds of years before it happened, God had already shown his prophets there's going to be a king rise up, a Persian king. His name's Cyrus. And he's going to rise up and he's going to be anointed of Jehovah to send the children of Israel back to restore the temple of praise. Amen. God was already working on it. I'm so thankful for that tonight. Amen. We can know for an assurity tonight. That whatever comes in your life, amen, it wasn't unknown to God. It didn't surprise him. Amen. Even Israel, who had they'd done God wrong. They'd failed him. They'd backslidden. It was their fault. Yet God was still faithful to his promise. Oh, I'm so thankful tonight. Amen. Amen. No matter how bad we fail, God, amen, he's right there waiting for us. Amen. Amen. Like that prodigal, the father of the prodigal, he's waiting for his child to come home. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So he was working on Israel's behalf. He was getting ready to anoint a king. And we see that, you know, Brother Branham brings out this type and this the temple that's being restored here is a type of the body of Christ. Amen. Is that right? It's a type of the church. But that church is made up of individuals. And each individual is married to the head. Amen. Each individual has to go through their own restoration. They have to go through their process, their placing in the body. Amen. And when they're all completely united to the Word, amen. That's when that body is ready for that headstone. So the foundation has been laid in the church in previous ages, but now we're waiting for the head. Amen. Amen. So there's this type of the church that is flowing through this whole thing. But I want to make sure that we're focusing on us as individuals tonight. So that's what we kind of want to look at. That's all right. So let's look at this restoration process. So we're going to start here in Ezra chapter 1. We're going to be reading quite a bit from Ezra here tonight. Ezra chapter 1 says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, if you're not familiar with some of these names and characters and things. So Babylon captured Israel, right? King Nebuchadnezzar. And then there were several kings or a couple of kings in Babylon, and then the Medo-Persian Empire captured Babylon. They took over. And so there was King Darius and some different ones in there. And then now this is Cyrus, king of Persia. So it's kind of the same empire, just kind of different leaders. They're taking over. All right, so it's Israel is just a captive this whole time. So now in the first year of King Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Now we didn't read this, but it had already been prophesied. It had been prophesied, over 150 years before this. According to the word of the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now this guy, Cyrus, he ain't a believer. He's probably not even a good guy. Right? He's a Gentile king, probably an idol worshiper. We don't know much about him. But yet he is being used by God. Amen? Amen. And remember, we're taught that every leader is there at the pleasure of our God. Amen. He's got all things under control. Amen? So here's this king, Cyrus. He thinks that he's just, he's got a great idea. He thought of it. But the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom. Now this is a pretty big deal, right? This isn't just something, idea that he came up with one day in his private bedchamber and kind of wrote it down. Yeah, maybe someday we'll do this. No, this stirred him. It was important to him. You see, the anointing of God, anointing a man, not an unbeliever, what he can do on behalf of his children. Oh, I've seen it, brother, sister. I've seen it on bosses, supervisors, managers. God can do that. He can move on your behalf. And he moves on this king's heart on behalf of his children. So much so that he makes a proclamation throughout all his kingdom. And put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith King Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah." Now, I don't know how everybody reacted to this, but some people might have thought, man, what is he? He's gone crazy, right? Israel had enemies. He says, "Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judea." So he puts out, he says, hey, anybody want to go? Any of his people? Let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judea, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. This is pretty amazing, right? "Whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, and with gold, and with goods, and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all of them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem." So you see, the Spirit, it keeps mentioning this. The Spirit of God is working on these men. The Spirit of God is working in all aspects, leading these men and women and people to raise up. They're getting inspired by the anointing that is on them. Amen? To do this work. So they raise up. All of these people are raised up by the Spirit of God. Ezra chapter 2, verse 64. So just same chapter, or next chapter. We're just kind of skipping down here, skipping a little bit of the narrative. Says the whole congregation together was 42,303 score. Beside their servants, their maids, among whom there were 7,337. And there were among them 200 singing men and singing women. Now, I love how the Bible calls this out. Because we've got, all of these people, and they give the exact number. Right? I mean, this is a very exact accounting. This was Ezra. He was very detail-oriented, right? He gives us the exact number. But I love how he puts there at the end, "And with them were 200 singing men and singing women." Amen. 200 singers. worshipers. Amen. Why? Because they're rebuilding a temple of praise. They're not just taking carpenters and workers. They've got to take some praise with them. Amen. Hallelujah. So this group of refugees is relatively small, right? We see the number there, some, you know, a couple thousand with, you know, 7,000 servants and maids and things, which, or 40,000 plus 7,000. So, you know, less than 50,000 people, right? We've got, what is it, a million people here in the greater Tucson area, right? So, you know, small. They would fit into a modern-day sports stadium, right? Small, relatively poor, weak, no army, but they were in the will of the Lord. They were moved by the Spirit of God. Now, I understand, I read this somewhere and I made a note of it, but I couldn't find where I had made this note, but so take it for what it's worth there. I don't know this exact number, but I read somewhere that they had about 12 talents of gold total to take back. Okay, 12 talents. Compared to the 3,000 that was wallpaper. 12 talents for the whole thing. So I'm showing you this to show you that it's a humble group. Right? If you were just to look at it, you might kind of wonder. Right? These guys, like this little ragtag group of refugees, they're refugees. They're sojourning back from captivity. We're going back to our homeland. A bunch of fanatics. Amen? Why are you doing this? The Spirit of the Lord is leading us. Really? That's what you're basing this on? Yep. Yeah. Yeah, the Spirit of the Lord led us to do this. Small, insignificant. The people of the nations around, I'm sure word got around. Right? And they're wondering, what are these guys doing? Bunch of holy rollers. Bunch of fanatics. Small, insignificant. Yet, brother, sister, this was the core of Jehovah's will. This was God's will. This was God's work. This was God's plan. Amen. On the whole earth, this is where he was working. In this little humble group. Amen. That could hear from God. Oh, hallelujah. What an honor we have this morning or this evening to be part of God's truth. To be part of God's work. Amen. Though it be humble. Though it seem insignificant, small in number, yet it is God's work. Oh, I'm so thankful for that tonight. We should praise our God. Amen. For the mighty works that he is doing. Hallelujah. What an honor. Amen. They had the singers. They had the Spirit. And they were in his will. They were walking according to the word of the prophet. Amen. God seeketh, the Father seeketh such to worship him tonight in spirit and in truth. Think about how few people on the earth tonight can worship him. Really worship him in spirit and in truth. But those are the ones, that's the ones he's listening for. He's listening for that worship. Amen. That's what he's seeking, Jesus said. Amen. Hallelujah. They are about to restore that kind of praise. Wow. Amen. Amen. Restored word praise. Amen. Think about that. Restored truth praise. Amen. Amen. Not praise of a partial truth any longer. But we have the restored word. We know His word. We know who He is. We worship Him with a restored truth. Oh, brother, sister, that's why the devil fights us so hard. Amen. He's not out fighting the Baptists. Amen. They only have a small portion of the truth. Is that right? Hallelujah. This is pleasing to the Lord. Sometimes, brother, sister, we can look around at our circumstances and we forget that this is the work of the Lord. This is the work of God. Amen. He's the one that prophesied. He's the one that sought. He's the one that spoke it. His spirit is the one that's given the unction. Amen. We are part of the work of the Lord. This bride is made up of the handiwork of our God. Amen. He will have a bride made up of a people unspotted by the world. I'm so thankful. I didn't call myself. You didn't call yourself. I didn't call you. You didn't call me. He's the one that did the calling. He's the one that put forth the call and said, come, come. He drew. He calls. And we answered, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord, send me. These men and women had been called for a purpose. And they knew that the importance of what they had been called to. And they were willing to leave the comfort of where they were, where many of them had grown up there, been born in captivity. Amen. And they had heard. The word had been passed down to them. And they were willing to go because the Spirit of the Lord called them. They were going to a backslidden country. The people that remain. Now, a lot of the people of Israel, not a lot, but a fair number anyway, remained there in the land. And what happened is they began to mix with the other nations. So when the northern nation of Israel was captured, they mixed there. When Judah was captured, they mixed there. And we know, we see the result of that. We call them Samaritans in the Bible. The Samaritans were a result of half Jewish, half Assyrian mixtures. And they didn't just mix bloodlines, which they weren't supposed to do. But they didn't just mix bloodlines, they also mixed the religion. So what you had in the land of Israel during this time, what they were going back to, was a people that claimed to still follow Jehovah. But they had a bastardized religion. Amen? A hybrid religion. A religion that was corrupted, but yet partial truth. And claiming to have truth. Oh, that's the worst kind. Amen? Because they were going to be the ones that are going to withstand this group. It isn't the rank unbeliever out there. It's the ones that are halfway, that are so close. And they saw these people coming. And they said, oh, look at these guys. These religious fanatics. What are they doing? What do they think they're doing? Here, we've been here all the time, and you know what? They were getting, you could see, right? They hadn't rebuilt the temple while they were there. Amen? They had had plenty of opportunity, but it wasn't important to them. Amen? They didn't need all that praise. Oh my. Amen. They didn't need an old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting. Right? Well, they had opportunity, but it wasn't important to them. Amen. But then they see these true worshipers coming on the scene. And they're talking about being led of the Spirit and rebuilding a place of worship where God can come and meet with His people. Amen. And the Holy Ghost can be poured out on his people. And they begin to make fun of them, ridicule them, resist the true worshipers. Amen. All the true worshipers saying, look, just leave me alone. Amen. If you don't like it, just go away. Amen. But no, they can't go away. They come around and criticize. And they've got to come against the move of God. Amen. You don't believe me? Let's read it in the scripture. Hallelujah. Ezra chapter 3, verse 8. Now it says, in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. So they're putting things in order, right? Then stood Jeshua and his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons and the sons of Judah together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad and their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. So the first thing they do is establish the priesthood. They reestablish the offices of the priesthood. Amen? And then the builders began to work. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord. Kind of like those. It's okay to have those in the church. Because it says so right here. To praise the Lord. After the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Man, they're glad they brought those singers. They're singing together. Amen. By course. Hallelujah. They're on top of it. Amen. They're worshiping, they're praising, and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. They're beginning to have a praise service. They're beginning to get happy. They're beginning to worship. And all the people shouted with a great shout. It wasn't a quiet service. Why? Because the word was being reestablished. Hallelujah. Praise was being founded again, reestablished in the nation of Israel. God was going to have a place to meet with his people again. And they began to get happy about it. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. How ought we to be when we come to church? Shouting with a great shout. And when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now, they haven't even built the building yet. All they did was lay the concrete. Amen. They put the foundation in. And they're already having a meeting. Oh, praise God. The first fruits. Amen. They may not have the whole thing, but they can see it. They can see the word of the Lord starting to manifest right before them. Think about it. Amen. All the things that they had talked about. Like I said, many of them, They were raised up on the stories. They were told of the works of Jehovah. The mighty things that God had done in their midst. And now they're starting to see it manifest. They're starting to see physical form. Amen. And it causes an outpouring. Amen. It causes them to worship. Amen. To get happy. To shout. To sing praise. Because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Many of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men. The old guys. Amen. That had seen the first house. So they had lived long enough that they had seen the original first temple. Amen. They were there. They were witnesses. And they had been carried over all the way. And they were pretty old by this point. Amen. That's why I say they're ancient. Amen. Not just elders. They were ancient. Amen. They had seen the first house. And when so the elders, they had seen the original with all the thousands and thousands of talents of gold.
Yeah.
Right? So what happened when this, humble little work started? What happened was they sat back with their arms crossed. And they said, oh, you're a bunch of babies. Bunch of Pentecostal babies. We don't need that anymore. Oh, if I could tell you stories about the prophet. Oh, that's not what the Bible says. It says the ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice and many shouted aloud for joy. Hallelujah. Amen. They were moved. They were caught up in it. They were part of the revival. They weren't an old stick in the mud trying to hold everybody back, saying, well, I got mine. No, they entered right in. Amen. They began to shout and cry with a loud voice. They were creating an atmosphere too. Oh, I love it. Amen. They said, oh God, pour out your spirit on these young ones. Amen. They need revival. They need a new birth. Hallelujah. Amen. They need what I've had. And I need more. Oh, that should be our attitude. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for revivals of past. Amen. But we want a revival today. Is that right? Oh, they wept with a loud voice and many shouted aloud. I don't know how you shout not aloud, but shout to yourself for joy. But I love this. 13th verse says, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of weeping of the people. It all just mixed together. It was all just one big cry, one big just outpouring of praise. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Even the neighbors heard it. What's going on over there? Hey man, there's a revival at that church. Hey man, we haven't heard shouts like that in 100 years. There must be something going on. Amen. That noise was heard from afar off. I love that. You know, our testimony, brother, sister, our religion, it's not to be hidden. Amen. We are to be lights. Amen. As the song says, hide it under a bushel. No. I'll stand on the rooftop and shout to the glory of God. It reminds me in the Bible when John saw his name. Amen. He said, everything under the earth, on the earth, above the earth, all heard I, John, shouting. Hallelujah. Why? Amen. He got a revelation. Amen. He saw himself in the Word. Brother, sister, they're seeing themselves in the plan of God. They're seeing God's Word being manifest right in their midst. They know God is with them, just like He was with Moses, just like He was with Joshua. Amen. And they're stirred up. It's a revival. Oh, but the enemy doesn't let it stand uncontested. Is that right? Hallelujah. Ezra chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard, and they heard, right? They heard it afar off. They heard the shouts. They probably had the answer to the people too. What's going on with those holy rollers over there? What's going on with them? We hear there's healings and works of the Spirit. There's an outpouring. What's going on? They heard about it. The adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple of under the Lord God of Israel. Then they came to Zerubbabel. We can't let this stand. Amen? The enemy's always going to be right there. You get some victory, he's going to be right there. He's going to test it. He's going to contest it. He's going to come against it. Amen? He's always on the job. And he's right there. Oh, we'll see what we can do about this revival. They came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, now look at this. I see that you're building the temple. Let us build with you. Now you might say, well, that was a nice offer. Let us build with you. For we seek your God as you do. And we do sacrifice unto him. Since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither, so all the days since they were captured, they said, we've been making sacrifices. We've been seeking God. We're Christians too. We all serve the same God. We all make the same sacrifice. You see how the enemy works? Amen? Now, to the untrained eye, or to somebody who didn't have the discernment, you might look at that and go, man, that's really nice, right? And no doubt there were people that said, well, you know, they just want to help. And they probably could help. They were established, right? They're going to have things like all the natural things, right? They're going to have the infrastructure. They're going to have the, you know, the rock quarries or the lumber mills or whatever's needed. Right, they're going to have all of that stuff. This was not an insignificant offer. Right? Come on, we can sponsor the meetings and right do these sorts of things. So he's offering to help. He's coming in to assist. This is the white horse rider. Right? We're just like you. Trying to mix the true move of God with a hybrid religion. Because their religion had already been hybrid. And what the enemy does is he tries to come into the midst and water down the move of God. He's trying to water down. And but when he moves in like that, he will start to assert leadership by human intellect. Right? Before they're led of the Spirit. But if they moved in and became part of them, they would say, oh, no, no, we'll do it this way. No, this makes more sense, right? Reason, reason, reason. And, of course, if you've listened to any tapes at all, you see that Brother Branham came up against this constantly. But we come against it in our own ranks. It's just the leadership of man that we're talking about. They were led of the Spirit. They didn't need leadership of man. They didn't need to mix religions. They didn't need all that natural stuff. The Lord will provide. If they just trust Him. Amen? So they wanted to kind of water it down and make it a powerless religion. If Israel would have let their, if those, that group would have let them in, they would have watered down their worship. They would have lost their victory. They would have become just like them. They would have had to give up those old-fashioned Holy Ghost meetings. Amen. But Zerubbabel was a good pastor. Let's read on what he says. They came to Zerubbabel, verse 2, and to the chief of the fathers and said to them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we will we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us. You have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus the king of Persia hath commanded us. A stern pastor. Willing to say it. Where's your love, Zerubbabel? Amen. He wasn't lukewarm. He realized it's black and white. The enemy tries to paint it all different shades of gray. But the word of God is black and white. Zerubbabel had the word of the Lord. And he said, no, we're not going to mix. We're not going to allow that in. We're not going to allow any spirit come into our midst that's going to fight against the word of God. That's going to fight the anointing and the leadership of the Holy Ghost. We're not going to allow those spirits in our church. We're not going to allow them in our midst. Amen. And it takes a man like Zerubbabel and the other leaders to stand up and say no. But you might hurt their feelings. It was a nice no. But they were so no. Amen. It sounds pretty harsh, right? But it was necessary. Hallelujah. So, seeing that he can't get in that way, the enemy tries a different tactic. Down to verse 4, it says, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. So, since they couldn't join up with them and work against them from within, they began to attack from the outside. They hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. And all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, and even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So they're working politically, right? They're working in every channel. You know, they're greasing palms and doing whatever they can, right? Oh, you thought you were going to buy this load of lumber from this guy? Oh, nope, the price just doubled, right? That kind of stuff, right? Or now there's a new ordinance. Oh, you didn't get your building permit for it. Right? Political things. Things to frustrate them. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against him. So they even send out to the king. Man, these guys, these are troublemakers. Right? They're giving a bad report. And the days of Artaxerxes, wrote Bishlam, and those guys' names, I'm not going to read them. And the rest of their companions, unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. So they were able to try and get the ear of the king. Now, when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. So eventually, they've succeeded using the force of the government, political force, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now, I want to say something about that. Now, they already had a mandate from the original king. Right? So they didn't have to stop. But they bowed under the political pressure to do it. They had every right to continue. And they had a mandate from God to do it. But they got scared. Right? They crumbled under the pressure, so to speak. And unfortunately, it is the sad portion of the story that the work was paused. Now, it didn't stop because God's promise ceased. It didn't stop because God's word suddenly changed. Right? It didn't stop because God told tell them to stop. It stopped because they were afraid of man more than they were afraid of God. They were concerned about losing things in the natural, property they had gained. They had established themselves. They had built their homes already. And they let Satan bluff them. Right. Amen. They let Satan bluff them that, oh, maybe it's not the will of the Lord that we continue this. Or defer it. Right? Someday. Oh, you got quiet on me. These are bluffs. The enemy uses against us. Amen? Maybe you've stalled out in your walk. Amen? Maybe you've been frozen, stuck, become stagnant. Well, it's not God's fault. He hasn't changed. Amen? What has changed? Maybe you've let the enemy bluff you. Amen? Maybe you've just caved a little bit. You just need to get back up. Start working again. Amen. Start building the temple of praise in your life. But God's not going to let it stand. I'm so thankful. He's not going to let it stand. He sends a prophet. Prophet named Haggai. Haggai chapter 1 verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? Now sealed, that just means it has a ceiling. All right? So you've got roof, or you've got houses, you've got roofs over your head. You've built homes. You're living in somewhat comfort. And this house of God lies in waste. Amen. He's coming with a rebuke. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. So he's telling them, you're not prospering, right? These are natural things. You're sowing, you're working really hard, but you're bringing in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. You make money and it just comes and goes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up on the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. What's he saying? They're neglecting their praise. They're neglecting their worship. They're neglecting to build the temple of worship for worldly, earthly things. They've given so much attention to the natural things, and they've neglected the spiritual. Amen. They're attending to the crops and the work, and you know, he says, clothes and food, raiment, drink. He says, but it's not prospering because you've left off the main thing. It's exactly the opposite of our thinking. Our thinking is, well, if I want to prosper, I have to put all of my effort and my attention into those natural things. And that will make those things prosper. But the opposite is true. Amen? Doesn't the Bible say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. That's what he's telling them. You got to get the main thing, the main thing. The whole reason that you guys are here is to build this temple of praise. The whole reason we're here on earth. The whole reason God has given us life and put us in this Laodicean age is to praise Him and honor Him and glorify Him. It's not to make money or be successful or do all any of those other things. Amen? We're not saying that we wouldn't have things. We will. God will bless us with things if we put the first things first. Excuse me. So it's been 18 years since this work started. But God has not forgotten. And he sends his prophet to remind them. Amen? To remind them. Why are you even here? Why did I even call you? It wasn't so you could sit around in your These little houses that you've built, you have a higher purpose.
Amen.
You've been called to a higher purpose. Amen? We've been called to a high calling, brother, sister. Amen? Oh, Lord, help us. Amen. If we've left off from the main thing. So, as we come to this point in the story, we're going to return back to that scripture that we started with in Zechariah chapter 4, because now this scripture is in context. The scripture that we started with. But this is the point in the story that it comes in. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. So this is Zechariah prophesying. Right? Saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So you see, this is coming during this time when he needs encouragement. He needs to get up and get moving. He needs to be about the business of the Lord. He's saying, Zerubbabel, it's not by might. It's not by power. You're not going to do this on your own. I mean, you're not going to do this by building houses and creating, you know, jobs and administration and things of man. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Go back. Go back to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. So you see, he's shown him, it doesn't matter how big the obstacles. It doesn't matter if all the political pressure is against you. It doesn't matter what judges and magistrates and kings and politicians say. Any great mountain before you will be laid low like a plain. And he shall, not maybe, not might, not could, shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. By this time they realize, look, we can't do this on our own. We tried it. We got shut down. But now it's going to be by his spirit. And it's going to be grace. It's God's grace. Amazing grace. Amen. Through all the church ages, man tried and tried and tried. But it's only in this last age where we realize, oh God, we can't do it. There's nothing we can do. Nothing of man, no church, no organization, nothing can do it, only by grace. Grace. A double measure of grace. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of his house, of this house. So you see, this is already in the past. Laid the foundation of the house, his hands shall also finish it. No doubt they were whispering, oh man, you know, he started it, but he can't finish the job. No, he will. He will finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hands of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Amen. So it's a little different now that you look at it from that place, right? The word of the Lord comes to encourage the believer. Get up. Get moving again. Amen. If you've been stalled, if you've been stopped, even if you've been stopped for 18 years, Zerubbabel, get moving again. Amen. You stop coming to church, don't let that devil keep you away. Today is the day. Start. Move. Get moving. Take a step. Amen. He's not going to use somebody else. He called you. I mean, he will use other people too, understand. But he's not going to just cast you away. He called you. Called you for a purpose. Amen. Keep moving. Get up. Get back in the fight. You'll see the Lord is with you. He'll make the obstacles disappear. He'll help you by His Spirit. Brother, sister, we are the finishing stones. Amen? We are the end time stones in this great building that God is creating. The last ones. Right? Our prophet said the final voice to the final age, the last testimony, the last voice calling out. The Holy Spirit is going to finish this work. Amen. Let's read some statements from the Message. All right, we gotta finish this up. Okay. I want to read some of these statements here from the Message, Perseverant. Brother Branham says, now all Christians must be perseverant or persistent. They must be perseverant. And the only way that you're going to be able to do this is to first to have faith in what you're trying to do. If you have no faith, you're just jumping at it. You can't be perseverant. But when you really know it's the truth, then there's nothing going to stop you. You are really perseverant then. And man of all ages that's ever been able to do anything and had faith in what they were trying to do were perseverant. Perseverant means that you have to press through obstacles. Press through resistance. Press through the enemy coming against you, trying to stop you, throwing roadblocks up, trying to oppress you and suppress you, attacking you. Amen. But we persevere. Why? Because it's the word of the Lord. Amen. Brother Branham says, when a man gets his answer from God, there is nothing going to stop him. You see, that's the problem, is we just need to get an answer from God. Amen. Sometimes we just need Him to remind us. Amen. That's why we're here tonight. That's what the preaching of the word is for, partially. Amen. It's just to remind us of those things. He says, most people today, as I will repeat myself from last night, saying they have hope instead of faith. You find people coming to the platform and they're built up on hope. Amen. We don't want to be built up on hope. We don't want to be built up on emotion. We don't want to be built up on anything but the word of God. That's what we need to stand on. Amen. When we go to God in prayer, we stand on the word of God. But we don't back down from it. We stand and press forward based on the word of God. He says, but faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. It's not a myth. It's not imagination. It's something that you've got. You've already got it. And you're just as happy with it, that faith that you have, as you would be if you had the substance in your hand. Amen. Why? Because it is a substance. Amen. Continue on. Another message, Perseverant. He says, Noah, in the opposition that he preached in the days of his time in preparing the ark, after he heard God tell him he was going to destroy the world with water, that sin had heaped up so high he couldn't stand it no more. And he was going to wash the world off with water. And there was not a bit of water in the skies, but yet Noah was perseverant in the time of critics. No matter how much people told him it can't happen, Noah knowed it was going to happen because of being perseverant. He never just said, well, I laid the foundation of the ark. See how he's typing this in here? Right? Well, I laid the foundation of the ark. I guess that'll be enough. See, if science had already proved I'm on the wrong grounds. In other words, he went so far, laid the groundwork, started it, and then just said, oh, I guess it wasn't right. Amen. We've seen many in our own message do this. They started out, I believe this message with all my heart, preach it, and then the critics get to them. Well, I guess science already proved I'm on the wrong ground. Amen? Brother Branham says in paragraph 74, he says, that's the way many people does about coming to Christ. They lay the foundation, believing on the Lord Jesus and accepting Him as a personal Savior and maybe going on in Christian baptism. But when it comes on to following through to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, somebody explains it away for them. My, my, my. Something rises up in me that is righteous indignation about that. It moves me a little bit. I get angry at any spirit that would try to explain that away, that would try and take that away. Somebody explains it away for them. They're going to have to answer for that. I don't care who they are. If they're a preacher, they claim to believe this message, anybody that tries to explain it away from a child of God. Can you imagine that? Keeping a child of God away from a new birth. Trying to keep them away from the baptism of the Spirit. He says that's the reason the seed fell by the wayside, or it fell on stony ground. But the man and woman who has faith that God, that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that His Word is just as real now, and every promise that's just as true as it ever was, there's no minister, there's nobody can explain it away from them. They are perseverant. So you see, he even says, a minister that would try and talk somebody out of it, and they will push people away. And they're the ones that are identified as the seed fell by the wayside or on stony ground. But the real true child of God will push through that. Why? Because there's something in them. They can't explain it. But there's something in it that just calls out. It cries. There's a draw. There's a pull. He says they're perseverant. They climb on until they achieve. I like this part. They climb on until they achieve what they've purposed to do. There's no way to explain it away from them. They believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. They're not going to accept just an old stony foundation. They need to rebuild the whole temple of praise. They need to see that work completed. Amen. They want to see the will of God manifested in their lives. They want to be perseverant. Amen. They want to be part of that finishing work. They want to cross the finish line. Amen. Going all the way onto a rapture, a body change. Hallelujah. Amen. Quickly now, we just want to finish it up here with Ezra chapter 6, verse 14. Amen. If we could just stand, we'll end here with this. Ezra chapter 6, verse 14. And it says, "And the elders of the Jews builded." The word of the Lord came to them and gave them a little Holy Ghost spanking. Say, get moving. Repent. Amen. Get back in line. And stay in line. And keep moving. Keep going forward. You've been given the word of the Lord, now walk in it. Amen. And you know what? They did it. They didn't get offended. They didn't say, "How dare you talk to me like that?" No. They received it. And they said, "You know what? Yes, Lord, you're right. Thank you, Lord. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Yes. Amen. They are the children of God. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered. They builded, and then they prospered. The thing they were trying to do all the time, if they would have just gone back and done what they were supposed to, they builded and they prospered. Through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it. According to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of God with joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. They will cry, "Grace! Yeah. Grace! Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You didn't give up on us. Amen. You didn't give up on me. Amen. Amen. You came after me." Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Grace, grace. Amen. I didn't deserve it, but Lord, you came looking for me. You made me part of your plan. You put me in this great masterpiece, in this end time. Oh God, I thank you, Lord. Grace, grace. Hallelujah. Oh, he's building a church tonight. He's building a church in this last day, brother, sister. He's building a masterpiece. He's chipping away. Amen? He's chipping and chiseling. He's building a temple of praise. Don't let the work stop. Don't let anything stop your progress. Moving forward, forward. Amen? Time is too short. The hour. Amen? The hour is at hand. His coming is soon. We appreciate the joy of the foundation being laid in our lives, but brother, sister, we're heading to the completion of it. We want to go all the way. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we are so thankful tonight, Lord, for your word. Lord, it just encourages us, Father, to move on. Lord, to step forward, Lord, knowing that you are with us, Lord, that your word is still true. Lord, your spirit is still leading us and guiding us. Lord, and we trust you for every step of the way. I pray, Father, that somehow, Lord, these little thoughts tonight would just fall in the heart of a believer, Lord. Lord, that your spirit would just move and, Lord, just speak to us, Father. That you just touch every heart, Lord. We're so thankful, Father, for what you've done for us, Lord. Lord, truly, we of all people, Lord, we cry grace, grace. Knowing, Lord, that it was nothing of our own strength or goodness, oh God, but it was you that called, you that willeth, Lord. It's you in every step of the way. It's your spirit, Lord, not by our strength, our might, or our power. Oh, but God, you're so good, Lord. You promised that you'd see us all the way through. Father, if there's any here tonight, maybe their spiritual lives has stalled out, oh God. Maybe they're in that situation, Lord. Maybe they ran for a little while, Lord God, but they've stopped building on the temple of praise, Lord. They need to get moving again. Father, I pray that you just move on their hearts tonight, Lord. Lord, reignite them, Lord. Reactivate them, Lord, I pray. Even, Lord, maybe they're listening in tonight, Lord. Haven't been to church in a while. Oh, God, may you just go to them, Lord. Move on their hearts, Father. Lord, many praying for loved ones, Lord. Holding that token, believing, Lord, that those that are out there, they're astray, yet they're going to come back, Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. Lord, we believe you, Lord. Lord, we want to keep the main thing tonight. We want to keep our eyes on you, Lord. Keep walking in your word, marching onward, Lord, believing that you'll take care of the rest. Lord Jesus, how we love you tonight. We just commit ourselves to you, Lord. We honor you and worship you, Lord. May our lives be a temple of praise. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Amen, let's just worship him tonight. Going all the way. I'm going all the way. Going all the way. Tonight I'm going all the way. Don't you know I'm going? that's your confession tonight. You just tell him, Lord, I'm going all the way. 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 Hallelujah. I'm going all the way. Don't you know I'm going all the way. Hallelujah. I'm not turning back. I'm not going to let that devil turn me back. Turn him back. I'm going all the way. There'll be no turn. Hallelujah. I'm going all the way. No turning back. I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. Amen. Who's going all the way tonight? I'm going all. God.